fitness, nutrition, sleep, longevity, performance, fat loss, and all the keys to a life of health, happiness, and success. I'm Jed Zimmer, your host, and welcome to The Health Project. We're back again, guys. We've got episode 15 tonight of The Health Project, where I was incredibly lucky enough to sit down with Natalie Jill from Natalie Jill Fitness. Natalie is best known worldwide for being able to torture fat for a living as she works as a weight loss and health expert. On top of this, she's also a health and human performance coach where she teaches people how to change their mindset and mentality, how to age gracefully, how to live a life less stressed, and most importantly, how to live a healthier life. She's also a New York Times best-selling author, but most notably, guys, I wanted to share this episode with you today because with everything going on right now, she's the exact person we all need to listen to. I'm very excited, guys, to bring this one to you. Here's my chat with Natalie. Now, Natalie, please correct me if I'm wrong here, but my understanding from my own research is that from about the age of 40, you have seemed to have accomplished in terms of health and fitness so much more than you probably did in those first 40 years of your life. So, why is this the case?
I think first and foremost, there's a story that most people hold that they think that they're too old or it's too late or because they're a certain age, something's passed. And I think I'm a walking example that that's not necessarily the case. You know, my whole life changed after my late 30s. I'm 48 as we record this, almost 49. And I would say that today I'm a different person than I was a decade ago. Mm. And I've continually pivoted. And what I created in my late 30s and early 40s is literally a whole different career, a whole different body, a whole different health persona, a whole different impact than I ever thought I would have created.
Now, you said you had a little bit, was there a turning point or what is this sort of background?
Yeah. So, you know, up in my 30s, I was just like everybody else. I worked in corporate America. I was a new mom. I had gained a lot of weight when I was pregnant. That's nothing unusual. A lot of women go through that. But what was unusual for me, this is back in 2008, 2009. This is when in the US, especially, the housing market had crashed, the stock market had crashed. We were in a definite financial downturn. And for the first time in my life, I was experiencing depression and stress. And that was coming from knowing I was going through a divorce, knowing that I was going to be a new single mom, knowing that I could no longer afford my house, knowing that I couldn't maintain my current career because it required full-time travel and I didn't know how I was going to do that as a single mom. So I had a lot of stuff happening at one time. And the difference then than how I would handle something now is I was very private about it. I didn't even know to ask for help. I didn't know how to authentically connect with others about what I was struggling with. I thought that I had to keep a persona of having it all together. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. You know, I was raised to be tough, to suck it up, to not complain. So I was falling into that trap. And the lesson for me in that was until I was able to really get real and know that things were not great in my life and be able to openly share that and start to authentically own where I was operating from. The lesson in that was until I was able to do that, things were not going to change.
Right. So it was almost like you had to embrace that not everything was perfect at that current time. And that's when the changes could start to occur.
Yes. And I think that's the same with anybody. Like if you think about a relationship ending, you have to be in a place of acknowledging there's a huge breakdown first, you know, or you want to start a weight loss journey, you have to acknowledge that there's a problem, or you want to get healthier, you have to acknowledge a starting point. And it's no difference in anything in your life. You have to acknowledge what the breakdown is first.
Right. And so fitness and health, was this something that you were always heavily interested in, or was this after this turning point?
I was always heavily interested in it. I didn't ever realize how important of a lifeline it was. But when I really hit my rock bottom and I was fully depressed, I remember the day very clearly that I caught a glimpse of myself on a walk. I noticed myself with a mirror reflection with some windows I passed by. And it was the first time that I had this notice with myself that, wow, what I see staring back at me is not who I actually am. What I see staring back at me is super out of shape, is sad, has bags under my eyes, is depressed. And I thought to myself, is this who I want to be? Or is there something more? And it was that first awareness that had me start to operate from a vision instead of where I was. You see, most people, Jed, will say, wow, this is who I am. I'm sad. I'm depressed. it's hopeless. You know, a lot of people will say that, or I have no money, or I'm sad, or I'm overweight, or I'm not healthy. And we'll tend to operate our days from this place of lack or sadness. But that was the moment that I thought, there's got to be something else to operate from. And it was the first time I realized, what is it that I actually want? What's that vision? Where can I focus and force a vision someplace else? And that's when things started to turn around for me.
Right. So how else, what were the steps that you took to overcome a lot of this adversity?
Because
for a lot of people, I guess it does seem easier said than done. And it is.
Especially. There's a very specific method, and it's the same exact method that I do with coaching clients, that I do with my programs, that I do in my books. Now, I do this at different levels, and you could do it from just what I'm going to share with you right now. But there is a simple method. And number one, it starts with a decision. You have to make a decision, draw a line in the sand that you want something different. And what my decision right then and there was, I am done feeling like I'm living a fake life. I am done not being happy with myself. And I'm deciding that I'm going to control what I can control. And that is about getting healthy. Like, I can control what I'm eating. I can control what I'm taking in my mindset, and I can control how I move my body. So it started number one with a decision. That was the number one. If you ask any one of my transformations that have transformed their bodies, their health, their finances, their relationship, whatever it is, they will all say the number one first step was deciding. So deciding always comes first. So any listener right now listening that's like, oh wow, I'm stuck or I'm not happy, I'm going to ask you to think, have you decided? Not have you told yourself a story that nothing works for you, but have you decided that you're ready for something different? That's number one.
Right. And then from there.
Then number two is think through, where do you want to go? Your vision. What is it that you actually want? And people skip this step. They say what they don't want. I don't want to be overweight. I don't want to be unhealthy. I don't want to be this. But okay, what do you actually want? And get very vivid and very clear and very decisive with what it is you actually want to create. And force a vision for where you want to actually go. That's critical.
Is this as simple as just clearly thinking about it, or do you like to recommend visualization, having clear goals where you might write them down on a monthly basis, or
whatever is going to evoke a feeling. You see, we tend to move and create change based on evoking feelings. So for me, vision boards work well. Like, and I call them decision boards now, by putting pictures of what I want, because I make those all the time, and I'm looking at one as I talk to you. But what I'll do is I'll stare at my vision board and say, what would the girl living in that board, what would she eat? What would she do? What would she listen to? Who would her friends be? How would she spend her time? And by asking myself that question, I can evoke those feelings and start taking those actions towards that. So whatever is going to work for you. If journaling doesn't evoke that feeling, I'm not going to tell you to journal.
Right. Yeah, I love it. And I'd imagine you'd be someone who would have, you'd be a goal setter. Because I know for me, I actually love, on a daily basis, I've got specific goals that I want to achieve for that day. Is this another thing that you recommend?
You know, I don't know. I don't think I do that on a, because to me, it's not about a checklist of things. I'm very vision driven, but how I get to that vision, I'm not that specific. Right. So for instance, I don't want to set myself or a client up for failure. So I'm not going to say my goal is I'm going to go work out 7 days a week. That to me sets you up for failure. Because if you can't, or you won't, or, you know, something changes, does that mean you fail? Instead, if you force a vision and you don't worry about how you're getting there, that's a very different thing. You're committed to a vision of what you want, not the how specifically you're going to get there. So more important than an actual goal would be that next step. You know, we started with decision, then vision. The next step is you want to identify what I call false assumed truths. And this is that fat that I help you kill. FAT, false assumed truths. That's any belief that's currently in your way that's holding you back from results, like I'm too old, or I have a bad metabolism, or genetically I have this, or I'm injured, or I don't have enough money, or those are what I call false assumed truths. And doesn't mean they're not a fact, but what you make of it is a false assumed truth, because it doesn't have to mean anything.
And how do you start to work your way around some of these false assumed truths, I guess you could say, because they're always going to pop up. These thoughts always coming in.
You have to identify it. Just like you have to identify that your genes are too small. You have to realize, you have to know your starting point. So as soon as you identify something, you start having power over it. So identify that they're coming up, and stop seeking evidence that validates it. So for instance, if you think you're too old to change, it's very easy to find evidence from all kinds of people that, wow, after this age, you're going to have belly fat. But stop validating that. Start looking instead for different outcomes. Mm-hmm. Look for somebody that actually has, you know, that they're not, that they're older than you, but they have results. Start finding different evidence around that. So that's step three. You want to really identify false assumed truths. That's key. And then after that, the next step would be your thoughts and your actions. You can become a very different person by changing your thoughts and your actions. You can be an entirely different person by changing your thoughts and your actions. So tying that all together is, if you are going to be that person in your vision, if you're going to create a different action, what thoughts do you need to be thinking every day? And what actions do you need to start taking to create that change?
I love it. Are you someone who has daily practices with a lot of these to put all this into perspective? Like, are you doing gratitude journaling, or is this something that has over time become natural for you now?
I think a lot of it has become natural. I really do, in every one of my programs or my books, give different ways to get to this. I don't believe that there's one way. There's a lot of ways. It's key to figure out what works for you. If having a habit that's daily sets you up to have failure, I don't recommend it. You have to have small wins. So I'm a bigger focused believer of what you can add into your life versus like what you shouldn't do. So like, for instance, like some rules that I'll follow are, I'm gonna make sure that I drink a lot of water. I'm not gonna say I'm gonna drink X amount of water, but I'm gonna say I drink a lot of water. Or I eat unprocessed natural foods and I focus on how many of the good foods can I get in, which makes less room for the bad. Or how can I be active every day? Like, how can I create that? Or how can I connect with like-minded people? Or how can I make sure the majority of the information I'm taking in is from upbeat motivation, you know, motivating sources?
Right. So it's not about sort of setting limitations there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Awesome.
Now, something you touched on a little bit earlier, which is I wanted to ask on, so it led on to it quite nicely, about aging in reverse. This is something you've become quite popular for. What do you actually mean by that, the term aging in reverse?
Yeah, great question. So aging, when you think about being a kid, what comes to mind when you think of kids is they're super present. They live in the moment. They do not have false assumed truths. They don't believe that they can't anything. Like, you hear a kid, you say, what do you want to be when you grow up? They want to be a superhero. They want to be a cowboy. They want to be president. They want to be whatever. Like, they have these big visions and dreams, and they don't have a story of why they can't yet. They think they can achieve anything. And, you know, adults will kind of giggle at them sometimes, like, oh, ha, that's cute. They think this. But kids have a very open mind. They're very present. They're fun to be around for the most part. They play a lot. All of that keeps someone youthful. So when I talk about aging in reverse, does that mean a 50-year-old can become 20? No. But could you start to take in and become someone that has those youthful ways about them? Because then your energy, how you feel, your attitude will be so much more youthful, which in turn makes you look and feel different always. And if you think to people you know in your life, everybody can identify with knowing somebody that's old and is acting very frail and over the top, you know, and you can also probably think of someone older than you that's very youthful and fun. So look at those examples. And aging in reverse is not just about fixing your face or tucking the wrinkles and, you know, stuff like that. It's more, how can you bring in a lot of that youthful playfulness to change you?
Yeah, I love it. So it's really about reframing the way you think about aging, I guess you could say.
Absolutely.
Now, I love you. We've touched on earlier, you're very passionate about your health and fitness. Let's delve into this a little bit. So your health journey, I believe you suffered from celiacs early days.
I wouldn't say suffer. You know, it's funny that people always say you suffered from celiac. I didn't suffer. I was diagnosed with celiac before people even knew what gluten was years ago. And honestly, I'm grateful for it. Because of that, I was forced to eat unprocessed natural foods. And that's how I first learned about all of that.
Just while we're on it, Natalie, there'll be a few people listening who are not even sure what celiac disease is. Sorry. So
yeah.
You want to just go into that a little bit?
Sure. Celiac is an autoimmune disorder. It's in the autoimmune family. It's one of the more mild autoimmune diseases. And what it means is your body does not recognize gluten. So it's one of the legit reasons you wouldn't want gluten. This is not a gluten sensitivity. It's not a gluten allergy. It's not a, I'm just afraid of gluten. It's not a trendy thing. A celiac means your body looks at gluten like poison. So what happens if someone who's a celiac eats gluten, your body will produce antibodies to sort of attack, and your lymph nodes will flare up. You'll have aches, you'll have pains, you'll have stomach issues. For me, I got sick all the time. I had big swollen lymph nodes. I had always a runny nose. I had all these autoimmune responses. And when you have an autoimmune disorder, if you do not manage it through your diet, you are very likely to get other autoimmune diseases. Very likely. Things like lupus, scleroderma, type 1 diabetes, MS. These are all in the autoimmune family. There's many of them. So it's critical that you manage that. What I feel very fortunate about with celiac is it's a very mild autoimmune. I mean, you literally can manage it and have a thriving, healthy life just by giving up processed foods and getting rid of gluten. There's no overcoming it. Like if you were to go do a test on me, I still have celiac, but I don't have the response right now to it because I haven't had gluten in 20 years.
Right. So you've completely eradicated gluten from your diet?
And there's been a couple times that by accident I had something with, say, soy sauce in it, or which has fermented wheat, and I have an immediate flare up. So I can't say it's been perfect. It's not been intentional in the last 20 years. Yeah. You know, but it's like an accidental thing where you order chicken and you didn't know it had soy sauce on it, something like that.
Often, obviously, it's going to be very individualized because everyone's diet, it's going to be different. But do you think gluten is something that should be reduced from a lot of diets out there? I know I view as sugar, gluten, and even dairy on occasion that they should be limited.
So none of them are good for you. There's no benefit. There's no benefit to having sugar, gluten, or dairy in your diet. No benefit. Now, some people, like my husband, none of it affects him. Like literally, like it doesn't matter. He could eat pizza every day. He still has pretty much a six pack. He still is healthy. He's still, like some people, it doesn't affect at all. If you are somebody that struggles with joint pain, with autoimmune, with menopause symptoms, if you're somebody that is struggling anyway with something else, then eating gluten, dairy, and dairy and sugar, it's not helping you. Put it that way, it's not helping you. So to me, before you argue with me and go, oh, but I'm going to say, just go try it. Just take it out for a week and see how you feel. You can always put it back in.
Is there any harm in completely eradicating any of these from the diet, whether it is gluten or dairy?
None. Zero. Zilch. There's no benefit to any of those. No benefit to any of them. And again, just try it. I know for me, with my autoimmune, I also get a lot of flare-ups and pain, and I've definitely had my share of injuries, and I believe that's connected. Like the more, when you have an autoimmune, like you're going to have flare-ups with other things. So I do have ongoing pain, especially I tore my bicep a few months back and I had surgery to repair that. I had lower back surgery before that. So I have flare-ups, and for me, there is a big dramatic difference when I have sugar and dairy in my diet. Like I can feel that flare up more than when I take it out. So I always tell people, test it for yourself. Before you judge it, just test it. Take it out, see how you feel. Add one back at a time if you want. If you're like my husband and it seriously doesn't affect you, awesome.
So what are you focusing on with your diet? So we're eliminating dairy, gluten, sugar, and then outside of this, are you focusing on a whole food approach, or what's it look like?
Whole, natural, real foods that once grew, and I focus on how can we add in more of the good, which makes less room of the bad. So I don't tell people like, you can't have all these things. Instead, I teach categories, what you can add in every day, which is so many different options. You know, going a gluten-free diet isn't necessarily healthy, but an unprocessed natural food diet is healthy and is gluten-free. And what I mean by that is you can go get gluten-free donuts, gluten-free cake, gluten-free pizza, all that. It doesn't make it healthy because with that, they're just adding more sugars and fats and all the things. But if you stick with a natural unprocessed food diet, which is what I teach, that is naturally gluten-free.
Right. So you're loading up on your fruits, vegetables. Are you eliminating meat or anything for this from the diet?
Nope. I don't eliminate that. I don't make it mandatory for people. So if you look at what I eat, it's primarily fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds. Yep. And then I have a lot of fish. Mm. I'll eat eggs. Approach. Sort of a paleo, much more vegetables and fruit than a lot of traditional paleo.
And do you, with your, you touched on your back pain, your bicep, how do you focus on the inflammatory markers there? Or does this come from that whole fruit approach?
Same things. When I dial in my diet, when I drink a lot of water, there's some other things I add. I use infrared consistently. Mm-hmm. I have an infrared mat that I use morning and night. It's like it's a healing mat to infrared that I love. I use that morning and night. That helps.
Is that something you just sleep on, or is it different?
No, it's like I have one of those. The one I use is from, it's called Zenergy, Zenergy. I think it's Zenergy.com. I'm not even really sure, but it's an infrared healing mat. And I'll lay on, as soon as I wake up in the morning, I lay on it and read. I lay on it before I go to bed. Yeah. That heat, that infrared really does help with inflammation.
So with that mat, is it the very similar benefits you'd get from a typical red light therapy?
Totally. Okay. Yep, absolutely. Or an infrared sauna as well. So I'll do that. I'm religious about my supplements, you know, like taking turmeric, taking fish oil. I'm religious about staying hydrated. The more hydrated you are, the better. And then sleep is key, making sure you get enough sleep. Absolutely. So that's critical. And then how I'm taking in those whole foods is all going to help with that.
Mm. Yeah, so it's a very holistic approach, which I love.
Yes.
And what does your exercise routine look like?
So every day, maybe one day a week, I don't do it, but every single day I make sure I get outside and I walk. I'm a big walker and I like to do it in nature. So I do about 6 miles of walking a day. That's a pretty much every day. Take my dog out. I believe in getting out in nature. I believe that there's a lot of healing elements with that. I want to be grounded to the earth. I want to be near water. I want to be near mountains. I want to be on grass. So I make sure to walk every single day. I think it's huge. And then 4 days a week or so, I do a workout, and my workout is very core based. So a lot of body weight, a lot of strength training, focusing on corrective exercises. I do not spend hours at a gym at all. My workouts are typically 20 to 30 minutes, but really a full body weight approach.
Mm. Do you think going back to the aging debate, do you think this needs to differentiate at all? Do you more focus on certain exercises or limiting as you get older, or not necessarily?
No, I think that's another false assumed truth. I think the only focus you should have on exercising is progression and intensity. Whatever you're choosing to do, are you focusing on, am I constantly progressing? And am I constantly making it intense for me? Not intense for someone else, but what's intense for you? Because the more you focus on those things, the more you're going to increase and get better as you age.
Mm. And so you touched on your supplements a little bit. Is it just fish oil, turmeric that you focus on, or is there any other things you're taking pretty much?
I take a whole level of things, and I'm going to give you I can give you a link. I'm happy to share a free, I have like a free supplement guide that shares everything that I take, and that's totally free. And I don't mind giving you that link. Mm-hmm. And then it's turmeric. I do fish oil. I do CBD oil at night. I do magnesium at night. I also, do a multivitamin. Right now, especially with virus being real and spreading, I'm a lot of vitamin C. I'll take. I do a vitamin D, even though I get outside in the sun. I take that as an add-on. By the way, that link, if you just go to nataliejillfitness.com/supplements, anyone can grab my free supplement guide there.
And I'll chuck that in the show notes too.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, those are the main, I'm trying to think what else. I have like all my bottles set up to recommend, you know, every morning. Yeah, now I do believe you can get most of your stuff through sunlight and through eating a whole food diet. I look at additional supplements as insurance. It's like extra insurance for me.
Now CBD oil, you touched on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you taking this? You said you're taking it before bed. Are you taking this to improve your sleep quality, joint pain, or
all of it. I love it. And if I have any anxiety during the day, or I feel myself, you know, too wound up, I'll usually take some CBD oil then as well.
Yeah, I love it. And what kind of dosage are you taking with this?
Oh my gosh, you know, I don't even know. I have like a little bottle, and I'll drop the dropper in my mouth. Yeah. I love CBD oil. Huge fan of it.
Yeah, it's only, I think here in Australia, it's only just becoming a little bit popularized, whereas those kind of things,
yeah,
it seems to be huge.
Yeah, super popular here in the States right now.
Outside of anything we've covered, is there anything you think, whether it comes to daily routines, the mindset, that you think certainly worth mentioning?
Let's see. No, I mean, I think that, and I would say connection with people. It's really important to be connected with like-minded people that lift you up. Yeah. Because that's another thing that happens, is we get into these groups of weird feedback loops where you're hanging around with other people validating negative beliefs and thoughts, and that can bring you down. You know, especially right now with what's going on in the world, I'm watching that happen to a lot of people, living in fear, living in anxiety, living in the what ifs, living in negativity. And you can change your whole mood just by hanging around and talking to people that are not talking about that, you know? Absolutely. So just paying attention to that. And that works really in anything in your life, you know, health, fitness, goals. Mm. As soon as you hang around people that are of the mindset of lifting up, you change.
Absolutely. With this pandemic that's gone on, has anything changed for you, or has there been any light bulb moments, I guess?
Pretty much just what I said, that I catch myself too. If I randomly scroll social media, I start feeling anxiety. You know, I'm like, I start seeing people arguing. I start seeing people living in fear. And then I start, you know, I can't tell you how many times I'll see a post and think I have the virus all of a sudden. You know, it's like it's so powerful. Or I'll see someone's negative response about something and I'll feel anxiety come on. So just being more hyper aware of how what we take in is affecting us.
Mm. Natalie, I'm going to finish off with some quick fire questions.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, your number one tip. I know it's going to be a combination of everything we've covered, but when it comes to fat loss, what would be your very first priority?
Yeah. Number one, decide. Make sure that you're staying in a place of decision. That is number one. And then I'll combine that with make sure you're very aware of your thoughts and your actions.
It's very hard to limit it to one sort of. There's so many.
Yeah. Things. Decide, thoughts and actions.
Outside thoughts, like it. Very favorite exercise that is suitable for all goals.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to say two to that one also, but before my bicep tear, cause I am going through the repair right now. I just had the repair surgery, so I can't, I would have always said chin ups and pull ups, even if you can't do one yet, just hanging from the bar and working towards it. That's a perfect example of working towards progression and intensity. Mm-hmm. But the number one go-to for everyone would be planks. Because a plank is actually a full body if you're doing it right. Mm. And it's amazing for your core, for your back, for your arms, for everything. So planks are going to be my number one go-to.
I love it. So you like to focus on total body movements?
Total body, body weight that does intensity and progression.
Yeah, I love it. And your favorite, you know, go-to, not necessarily superfoods, but yeah, healthy food options.
Gosh, that's so hard to narrow it down, but I'm a fan of mega doses of vegetables. So as many vegetables as you can get in, the better.
And just very lastly, a motto or a quote that you live by, if there's one.
Excuses or solutions, you decide. Mm. Number one, because it's always a decision. Because here's the thing, we all have excuses. Every single one of us. There's no one in the world that doesn't have excuses. The key is to make a decision every day to not live or validate in your excuses, because the second you do that, there's no chance of improvement. Instead, you must force yourself to focus on solutions. It's the only way to have a better outcome.
Incredible. You're a star, Natalie. That mindset that we've just covered there, it's incredible. It really does show how you've got to the position you are now, and you've changed.
Thank you.
Changed a hell of a lot of lives for the better. I've certainly been a big time follower, and to have you a part of this has been very exciting. So thank you again.
Thank you.